first, I just want to say, as I said before, it's a real privilege to come and share with you today and be part of Southbury Baptist Church. To understand me a little bit more, as you know, my name's Esther. My title is actually quite a long kind of job title, and I think if I had a name badge, I think it'd be a pretty long name badge. It's not just like staff or manager. So my kind of role is early intervention regional leader for the North and the Midlands. It's quite long. But that kind of explains kind of what I do. I look after all the kind of churches, kind of centres we call, that kind of do early intervention coaching in their local primary schools and secondary schools in the North and Midlands. And we're all over the country. And amazingly, we're growing more and more each week, literally. So I've also been a coaching coordinator myself for the past 4 years, where I live in Manchester. And it's been great in the past kind of great joy in the past 2 years to join the TLG staff themselves and just really see what God is doing on the ground in the North and Midlands and be part of that and support those around it. And part of my role is to support you guys, South Parade, who are doing it, particularly Heather as well. We meet up kind of regularly, or we kind of chat on the phone and kind of part of a wider kind of coordinators, we gather together and just share with one another what's going on. And it's been a real kind of pleasure to support Heather. She's taken on that role from Hazel. And I just would like to firstly kind of celebrate what God has been doing through South Parade. You've been partnered with us, TOG, for about 5 years now. And through those 5 years, you've had about 10 coaches, of which support about 25 children, which is incredible. So that's 25 children in your local community being supported by people coming alongside and kind of listening to them, spending time with them for 1 hour a week for a whole year each time. And supporting within that, supporting their wider families, which is incredible, absolutely incredible. And as I said, the heart of TLG is to give that long-term investment, that commitment to that child and their wider families, which you clearly do here in South Parade. And it's great to kind of come alongside and just kind of hear kind of your passion as well for the broken, the lost in your community and how you do that. So to give you an idea of where I'm heading today, I thought I'd tell you what I'm going to be sharing on. I've had little snippets already. But what we're going to be exploring today is we're going to be looking at coming alongside the brokenhearted and the poor in spirit to help them bring a freedom and a hope. I'm going to share more about the huge issue of school exclusions in the UK. I'll tell you about how part of faith plays in that and everything we do in TLG. And you'll have the opportunity to hear a life-transforming story of actually one of the young children, the kids we've been working with. And finally, I'll let you know how you're able to personally get involved today through our prayer, regular giving, stay in touch and maybe becoming a coach today yourself. But first, let me share who we are. As Paul says, we were called the Lighthouse Group, but actually we changed it about a year ago to Transforming Lives for Good, because we believe that can really kind of capture the essence, the heart of what we're about. We're about transforming people's lives for good right from the beginning. And our vision is to help churches, the local church, to bring a hope and a future through education for the most disadvantaged children and families in the UK. Now, as TLG, we partner with the church to help equip and support these children and families in crisis. They might be thinking, what does the word crisis mean? Well, by crisis, we mean children and young people who are at risk at or at the point of exclusion for various reasons. We want to come alongside and support those children who may be struggling with various behavioural, social, emotional issues. These are children who are really in need of someone to guide them, to come alongside them these issues and help them to make positive steps forward rather than just dismissing them, helping build good foundations from a young age. And that's why I'm going to be talking about God's heart for the excluded. Now we're going to take you back to the Bible. We just heard the reading from Luke verse 19. And we're going to be thinking about Zacchaeus. So apart from Zacchaeus being short, which I can't really empathise with that much in my life, he was a tax collector and was therefore hated by those around him. Zacchaeus openly cheated and he robbed people. His lifestyle, his work ethic, his character, this wasn't great, was it? He was someone that people did not like being around. He would have been socially and publicly excluded. He spent a lot of his time on the outside looking in. But Jesus was drawn to the excluded. He did not come to save the sorted, but the broken and the marginalised. And we see this thread throughout his ministry. Take the Samaritan woman, for example. Firstly, she was a woman. And at that time, women were seen as second-class citizens. She was also a Samaritan, which a Jewish nation, Adam, did not get on with. And lastly, she was probably more socially excluded because of her position in society. the woman caught in adultery as well. That's a really good example. She was publicly ridiculed by the Pharisees for her actions. However, Jesus did not judge or condemn them. Instead, he did something so much more powerful, didn't he? Filled with compassion, he came alongside them. In the case of the woman in adultery, he even got down in the dirt next to her, whilst the others around accused and isolated them. He met them where they were at, and he loved them. Not only this, he also drew them close to God, the way he kind of gently challenged them and cared for them and helped them to see a new way forward. So what about you? Are you drawn to the excluded? You may not always be drawn to those in the margins. Ministry there can be quite hard, can't it? It can be quite tough. Not seemingly attractive to be part of. So to give you a bit of idea of my story, I originally come from the Bristol end, but I moved to Manchester about kind of 7 years ago. Originally I was an actor there, but I ended up taking on kind of what are called Eden Projects. So I used to live in the Pride area in Stretford in Manchester, and I just moved off the estate this year. But I've been doing it for about 6 years, where we did kids clubs, youth clubs, drama clubs, and our heart really was to kind of come alongside those in that community to love them through different ways. And we also kind of came across TLG, and we're like, this is exactly what our vision's for. It's what we're about. So we started coaching about 4 years ago ourselves, and we still are coaching at the moment in a local primary school, where a lot of the families are that we work with. And I'm currently coaching one child at the moment, one boy. However, I'm going to talk to you about a child, a boy I was coaching for about 2 years. And I'm going to call him Kian. So Kian was a really funny, really intelligent boy. He had so much potential, and he was really intelligent. However, he had a habit of getting into trouble. He used to cause lots of harm to kids. They were quite scared of him. But also he had a lot of apathy and despondency towards the world and the school especially. He'd rather not try than risk it and kind of fail at it. And he found it really hard to have deep friendships. As I said, lots of kids were scared of him, could intimidate them. And so he kind of ended up getting more and more isolated. And he just felt also his dad didn't really seem to care about him at all, which made him really hugely disappointed. And that was quite hard to kind of to hear all that throughout the time, but a real, actual real privilege to kind of journey with him in it as well. Now we have, in the Trafford area of Manchester, we have the grammar school system still, so you have like 11 plus exams. And he was really kind of interested in going to this grammar school, which is great and really good to be able to encourage him and say, yeah, go for it. You can do it. Have a try. And so he actually put lots of effort into it and he really went for it. But unfortunately, he didn't actually get in. And what was really sad at that time was actually just to see his child completely give up. He was 10 years old and he just didn't care anymore at all in life. And that was really hard to witness, to see this kind of child go, actually, I'm going to take a step, but I failed. Don't care about anything anymore. And a child at that age just give up completely on life was really hard to see. And he became excluded quite a few times from school. And kind of it was really difficult because he wouldn't really share with me in his sessions kind of what was going on. However, what I could have done, I could have been like, okay, fine, whatever, we'll kind of leave it there. But actually, I was like, no, I need to stick with this. I need to pray for him. I need to keep turning up each week. And actually, by spending that time, just giving space for an hour a week for him just to have a space where someone listened to him, didn't judge him, asking him questions at appropriate times, but didn't just tell him what to do. Actually, I saw kind of him change that time. It took months, but I saw the change. By choosing to not pass him by, I kind of go, okay, fine, it's your problem. But instead of offering a space where he could be accepted, could have fun, actually started to talk more. And he grew in confidence, which was great. And actually got to the point where at the end of year six, he ended up having, he got his kind of the part in the school play he really wanted to play. And he actually was really, really good. As an actor myself, I was like, he's actually really good. Like, really good. And actually we got to secondary school. We got to secondary school, I thought, well, actually, let's kind of maybe do a bit of transition. That'd be really fun, and like just kind of just check in and see how you're doing, just to help you on that kind of journey. And actually got to the point where we met up at the kind of start of that year, kind of about 3 weeks in, and we sat down, and I remember speaking to that kind of Senko, the person who's in charge of that year, and he was like, oh, I've not really heard much about Kian, like, seems fine from what I've, no problems at all. And I was like, is that brilliant? And we sat down, and me and Kian had a little chat, and I was like, isn't this great? Like, how are you finding it? He's like, I'm enjoying it. And like, are you getting on? Yeah, I'm really enjoying getting on with people. And he just seems to get stuck into school. And we got to the point where like, actually, like, great, this has kind of come to an end, hasn't it? Isn't this brilliant that you are now in that place by yourself, you can go forward and you can make those positive steps forward. I think it was harder for me to let go than it was for him in the end. But it was a real privilege to see that, to see that child flourish and grow just by someone giving that time to them. So you see, that's what Jesus does, isn't it? Jesus loves us where we're at, and he brings us up from the ash heap. He sees our rubbish, where we don't fit in, where we're excluded, and he loves us. But our God is not just content with that, is he? For our God is a God of restoration and redemption. He can restore any situation, however broken it is, and I've seen that myself in my own life. Has he ever done that for you? Has he ever restored a situation which seemed hopeless and made it new? Who was there alongside you? And who walked in it with you? So coming back to TLG's kind of story in this, the reality is that the issue of school exclusion is one that is becoming more and more increasing concern for our country today. The latest statistic in the UK said there are more than 250,000 school exclusions. Imagine what it must be like to be a young person who's just thrown out of school. So often needs the hope, loss of hope, doesn't it? And the next steps can be crime, low self-esteem, gang culture, getting the wrong crowds, just giving up. Now today, 88% of youth in young offenders institutes were excluded from school. That's really interesting kind of parallel, isn't it? Can I have the next slide, please? It's great. And actually, to be exact, there were 1,900... Here's my maths here, not very good. 190,158 children were excluded from school last year. And this is a growing problem. We're seeing more and more children not only being excluded from secondary school, but also from primary school is on the rise as well. Can I have the next slide, please? Our most recent data shows that 23,630 primary age kids were excluded from England last year. And then to break that down even further, 5,300 of those children were excluded before they even reached the age of 6, which is ridiculous. That's thousands of children across the country who have only just started their kind of school, their kind of education, and they've just been told, you're not good enough and you can't stay. And so many school exclusions aren't by chance, are they? There are so many factors affecting children today that can lead to problems like bullying. There's maybe peer pressure going on. Later on, maybe drug and alcohol abuse. There's maybe family breakdown happening. Just to name a few things that are going on in these children's lives. Now, you may listen to this and just hold each of these children completely responsible and accountable for where they find themselves in. Or maybe like me, you see that there's injustice of children growing up in a broken family. They've been bullied at school. There's other distressing circumstances that are outside their control and they haven't got that help to help them through it. At the moment, we are seeing 1 million children growing up without a father figure in their lives, which is ridiculous, isn't it? There's just an absence of those dads around. And then also the following statistic says by the end of a childhood, a youngster is considerably more likely to have a television in their bedroom than a father at home. And that really breaks my heart, that there is not those father figures, people alongside these children as they're growing up. And it's then that you understand these children, these young people, aren't just the naughty ones that society labels, but they're victims of the world around them. They're kind of going through lots of different things and they need support. And this is a real significance, injustice in every town and city across the UK. I see it in the clubs that we run, in the streets that we live on, and the schools where we coach. Now going back to the story of Zacchaeus, there are three things that I'm going to kind of draw out of the story, responding to God's heart for the excluded. So firstly, Jesus didn't wait to be invited, did he? First thing I notice in this passage is that Jesus looked up and saw Zacchaeus and said, I must come to your house today. Jesus didn't wait to be invited. And this required a step of faith, didn't it? Respond to the need that was in front of him. He saw the need, he actively stepped out and initiated that relationship. quite often those kids that we might be working with won't kind of realise how to get that support, or don't know actually the importance of someone coming alongside them. And actually, that's what you could do. You can go, actually, I'm going to see that need, and I'm going to step in there, and I'm going to initiate that relationship and help you out. And this is what you're doing here in South Parade. Through our partnership with you, the church has been faith in action. In actually stepping out into your community, seeing the need, and meeting it. You're being that kind of what the church is, you're being the faith, you're kind of being hope for the nation here. And we're seeing early intervention grow, which is amazing. We have about over about 130 churches now across the UK that are partnering with us. And actually what's amazing, this year we're seeing literally one church a week coming and joining, saying, yeah, we want to be part of that. We want to step into the gap and actually step and help those families. And we want to do that. We want to keep growing as TLG and seeing about 300 churches partnering, providing this early intervention coaching in their local schools. And that's what you're doing now, which is brilliant. Think of how many of the children and young people can, families can be supporting in the UK who are just simply coming alongside them and supporting them. Number two, he did for the one what he couldn't do for everyone. Now this was Jesus' final journey to Jerusalem. He could have hung out with his friends, had a bit of banter, could have done that, but instead actually he chose to come to the one person. He saw the one person out of this big crowd, and he came to them. Now you may be sitting at the moment's congregation and wonder if God really cares about your situation. The truth is, he sees you. You as an individual, and he deeply cares far more than you can ever imagine. He knows your struggles, your mistakes, your feelings of inadequacy, and he meets you where you're at. And he walks in it with you, and he loves you. And he wants to bring wholeness and restoration. And that's the heart of early intervention. Exactly what the church is about. It's about reaching out to the one. It's focused, it's consistent, it requires commitment to that individual child and their family. What I thought I'd do is I'll show you an example in a second, a video of how in crisis. So this child I know as well, he's now in secondary school, and my friend Martin, who is retired, he coached a couple of kids. I was absolutely fantastic with him, they loved him. And this is just a story of how kind of early intervention coaching really helped this boy.
I used to get into a lot of fights, then I'd get into like really serious trouble, and I would have to get sent home because of my behaviour and my anger. Well, we would meet up around like Wednesday at like 2:30. He made me laugh and he was very good. And we would just like talk about how we've been doing, and then we'd do like colouring, like little booklet things. And one of them I enjoyed was making a rocket and a plane. We had like the one who can throw the plane the furthest wins. Martin sometimes won. Like, I didn't used to think, I would just like lash out. And it helped me to stop my anger from taking control of me. But now it's a lot more better because I don't always have to go home. And I always think before I do stuff. Teachers like say, well done for not hitting. And then like when I go home and I tell my mum, my mum always says, well done for like not hitting anyone. I just say thanks for all your help, for helping my anger. Thank you.
And do check out so many really amazing like videos, like real life videos of children and young people's lives being transformed. So check that out on our kind of TLG website. It's brilliant. It's really inspiring. Now what's amazing, in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 4, it says that our God is a God who comforts us in all our troubles. So we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. It's amazing, we don't have to have it sorted, do we? Heather and Helen, who are kind of coaching at the moment, I know Heather's out of action a little bit with her leg, but they're not the holiest of holies. They aren't separate in the holy stakes from you. Actually, they're just normal people who love Jesus and want to be used by him in their journey. And actually, you have the opportunity as well. It doesn't matter what age you are. We have coaches from 18 to like their late 80s. And I think, what can I give? But actually, if you're just willing to sit down and listen to a child, to take that time to have fun with them and just be open, like, actually, that's brilliant. I love the quote, "Christian faith is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread." You don't have to be qualified to be a coach. God does not call the equipped. Been said, he equips the call, doesn't he? He's little me and you guys, well, not quite little, and he loves it because it actually shows his glory even more, doesn't it? Now, you may have heard this story before, but if not, I'm going to indulge you a bit because I think it's a fantastic story. Just remind us a little bit. You do know it? Oh, great. You'd be like, oh, then again. So, this is a quick story. So, there was an old man who used to live near the sea. And I had a habit of going down, walking to the beach every morning, where he began kind of writing. And early one morning, he's walking down after there was a big storm the night before. And across this beach, it was just littered with starfish. As far as the eye could see, stretching both directions that had been kind of swept on to the beach during the storm. And off in the distance, the man saw this kind of little boy kind of walking towards him. And as the boy walked, he kind of would stop, he'd bend down, he'd pick up an object and then throw it into the sea. And the old man was quite curious, he started walking a bit further towards him. And then the little boy again bent down, picked up the object and threw it into the sea. And as he kind of got a bit closer to the little boy, the old man was like, "Good morning, may I ask what you're doing?" The young boy paused and looked up and replied, "I'm throwing starfish into the ocean. The tide washed them out onto the beach, and they can't return to the sea by themselves." The youth replied, "When the sun gets high, they're going to die, unless I throw them back into the water." The old man replied, but there's tens of thousands of starfish on the beach. I'm afraid they're really not going to make much difference." But then the boy bent down. He picked up another starfish and threw it as far as he could into the ocean. Then he turned and smiled and said, "Made a difference to that one." He bent down, picked another one, and made a difference to that one. Bent down again, and made a difference to that one. And that can be overwhelming, can't it? Sometimes the need that's in front of us in our community, in the schools. But actually, that's what Jesus did. He came alongside the individual, didn't he? He made a significant and lasting change to the one. Like the boy in the story, you can make a difference to the one. Now, my third kind of bit I got from Zacchaeus. As Paul said before, Jesus brought salvation to the lost. Now, back in the verses from like 8 till 9, it says, "But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount.' Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house. Because of this man too is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost.'" For Zacchaeus, Jesus brought salvation. He brought salvation where Zacchaeus was at. For there truly is salvation at every level, isn't it? Wherever we're at, Jesus meets us exactly where we are. And it's not just for the one. Like Jesus said, salvation came to Zacchaeus' whole house. And our real heart of TOG is not just engage the individual child, but the whole family. We want to see holistic change, not just behavioural. For the church is not just about providing social care, is it, or social transformation. Actually, we want to see heart transformation happen, don't we? Jesus brings salvation to the lost, and he wants to bring it through his church. For you're the hope of the world. For early intervention coaching, we want to encourage coaches to draw alongside, support the wider family and help bring them into what's going on in the wider church and share Jesus with them in that way. As you kind of build that relationship, as you get to know them, You can say, actually, yeah, come along to this. Maybe we're doing, we're having like a bake-off, like come along to that. Any ways you can just, you know, as you're building that relationship, just getting to know them as a person. Not only a motive, just I want to get to know you because you are important and you've got value. And some people may never have had that before. And this will hopefully kind of for an opportunity to share salvation with them and then for encounter God for themselves. Now, a great example of this that we do at TLG is to our family adventure weekends away, which are brilliant, where coaches can take their kind of the child they coach and the families along to the weekend. And it's completely funded by TLG. And it's a great opportunity for actually families to spend quality time together. Because we think, oh yeah, brilliant, I'm going to go on my summer holiday, I'm going to go this with my family, I'm going to do this. But actually for some people, some of the kids I know, like, they don't go on holiday anywhere. And actually to go away for a weekend as a family, to spend quality time together is huge. I remember one of the kids I took last year, he was like, so we get to sit down and like we eat together. And I was like, yeah, we sit and we have a meal on a table, it's brilliant, isn't it? And he was just like, I couldn't believe that. But he got to sit down and eat some food with his family in that way. And then through that, it's an opportunity for them to kind of hear about Jesus and God's heart for the family. And if they want to take Bibles away from themselves, an opportunity to come to know Jesus themselves. So maybe there's some questions that have been raised for you today. As we said, the church is about bringing a hope and a future through education to the disadvantaged families and children. And we believe the church is the hope of that, is the answer. Is there a situation, a person, maybe God's put on your heart that's excluded? Maybe there's a practical need? Maybe you're longing to see them saved in some way? Is early intervention coaching for you? I'd like to encourage you to commit to that person, to that few people, relentlessly. Don't give up on them. Keep praying, even when you can't see things happening. Just keep going, keep persevering, because God is working behind the scenes. Don't just stop, just keep praying and persevering. Would you be interested in joining the coaching team? Myself and Heather would love to speak to you at the end. Maybe you have some questions saying, oh, but I'm not sure about this, not sure. We are really happy. Any question is not a problem. We'd love to talk to you about it. And don't feel underqualified, because each of you can be used by God. Now, as I said before, I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond and get involved in TLG. And now is your chance. So on your seats, I didn't have enough fortunately for every kind of seat, but you should see a hope and a future kind of form. Now, I would love to stay in contact with you, just to keep you updated with kind of what TLG is doing. And would love to kind of send an email to you, kind of every now and again, just sharing kind of stories of transformation, so you can be encouraged with that, so you can be praying for us. And everyone who fills this in today will get a free gift. It's not bad, is it? So you get to have this book for free. So this is the book written by Tim Morfin, who's our CEO. He's a great guy. And it's just a really fantastic read. I actually read it on a plane one time on the way to Norwich, the classy place it is. And I actually cried when I was reading it. I felt quite embarrassed in the corner, kind of reading my book. But it just shows like God's heart for the disadvantaged, for children, and kind of how he can bring a hope and a future. Through, we have education centres, through early intervention. And it's just a really inspiring story, really easy, kind of small read. And if you fill the form today, we'd love to give you a free copy of that, just so you can kind of read it for yourself. And I'll be at the back, there's a kind of stand over there, and I'll be kind of standing there, so please do feel free to come up and speak to me. Now also what we have also our Hope Givers. So we are a charity, and we are so passionate about reaching more and more children. And we need support. We need your kind of praying support, but also we need people to be part of this vision with us and to see it kind of move forward. So what we do have is we have a form. You can be part of us. You can be a hope giver and say, yeah, I see this vision. I'm a part of it. So what you need to do is fill in the back as well and just tick or write a different amount you'd like to give. So yeah, I want to give regularly. I want to be part of this vision. I see what God is doing here. I want to play my part. So what you can do is fill in the form and again give it to me at the end of it, end of the service. I'll be really happy to receive that as well from you. Or you might want to take it away and say, actually, I'm going to fill it in and send it to you another time. But if you fill in today, great, and we can get in contact with you in the next kind of few weeks and get you on board with us. So on behalf of TLG, And all the children, the kind of young people we work with, I just want to say a huge thank you. Just for your generosity, for your time listening today. And as you are stepping out South Parade and reaching that kind of need in your community. We really appreciate it and we're praying for you in it as well. So to summarise, like Jesus, we have the opportunity to step out in faith, don't we? And make that choice to come alongside, to draw alongside the one. Meet them where they're at and ultimately bring salvation to the lost. For our God is a God of hope. And he loves it when we join his mission. And that's what mission is really, isn't it? It's drawing into what God is already doing. And you have the opportunity to bring that hope and a future to children and families in your community. I personally come back to this quote quite a lot myself, and I love Mother Teresa. I love her heart for things. And this great example she shares about God's kind of just simple love and commitment and kindness. She says, we can all do small things with great love. That's so true, isn't it? Maybe you're thinking, oh, what am I doing? Just spending 1 hour a week with a child? Actually, it means so much more than you ever realise. You can do small things with great love and have real impact. So can you be part of this? Would you be willing to give an hour a week to be praying for us, to be giving to us? We would love you to be part of our family. And it would be great, if I, do you mind if I pray for Heather and Helen, who will coach you at the moment, just because I think it's really good to pray for them, because they're the ones who are kind of in the schools at the moment. I know Heather's having a bit of a break, she's off on her leg, but it would be just really good to pray for them as well. Yeah, God, we just want to thank you for your heart, Lord, for the broken, Lord, the marginalised, for the lost, Lord, and you love them. Thank you that you care for every person that's in this room, God, and you see exactly where they're at. Thank you that you draw alongside them, that you're in it with them, God, and you want to bring hope and restoration. And we want to see that happening, Lord, in this community, Lord, here. We want to see more and more children, young people, families, ultimately coming to know you, Jesus. Be part of the church family. And we just pray for Heaven, for Helen, Lord, as coaches. We pray that you equip them, give them confidence, know that you're with them alongside them in the classroom, God. Let them know that they are making a difference, God. The way they're drawing alongside and just listening and caring for that child, Lord. We just pray, yeah, you empower them, Holy Spirit, and be with them, Lord. Amen. Yeah, so it's a real privilege, as I said today, to come here and just to share with you, and I look forward to speaking to you at the stand afterwards. So thank you very much.